Welcome into the show on this rainy Wednesday evening in Smashville. It is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth and the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios. It is a game night for the Nashville Predators. They play in Vegas tonight against the Golden Knights. Puck drop at 9, pregame at 8. Slapshot Radio will take you up until that pregame, starting at 7. And the host of Slapshot Radio, Paul McCann, is with me in studio an hour early. Paul, I appreciate you stopping by a little early here in the studios.
My pleasure. Had to get in out of the rain, for heaven's sake.
I know, right?
You know, it's going to rain. I have no use for rain in January. If there is precipitation coming down from the sky, doggone it, it needs to be white.
Really?
I have no use for cold, rainy days in January.
See,
snow, darn it.
9-year-old me would have agreed with you. 29-year-old me does not agree. You know, I don't like the snow anymore. I used to as a kid.
I still love it. I'm just hoping Denise and I are heading up to Gatlinburg for the weekend, and there is a little snow in the forecast.
Well,
so I'm looking
go.
Forward to seeing a little white stuff. You know, I'm crazy. I enjoy driving in it. I enjoy watching other people drive in it because when they figure out that the laws of physics do actually apply to them, it can be a lot of fun. But, you know, I always enjoy it. I hate that there's no Christmas lights up now to enjoy the snow in, because you have to have snow around Christmas lights.
Yes. Well, there might be snow in Gatlinburg this weekend, but there isn't any snow in Vegas tonight as the Preds take on the Golden Knights. The Preds getting a big win Monday afternoon, a matinee in Denver, 4-1 over division rival Colorado. Tonight against Vegas, the last game before the All-Star break. I'll be interested to see what kind of team we see out of the Preds tonight, because
they've been in Vegas for 24 hours.
Yes, your words, not mine. And they've been a little up and down here in the last couple weeks. Yes, the road trip was better than expected. It was a good road trip. But starting with that Carolina game, you know, Carolina down, Washington up, Winnipeg down, Florida down, Colorado up. A little bit of a roller coaster here in the last 10 days.
A bit of a roller coaster. I mean, and it's funny because I actually wrote about that in my blog on Hockey Buzz, and the title of the blog was consistently inconsistent.
There you go.
And that's what's maddening about this team, quite frankly. I mean, you look at this team and you see the efforts like Monday against Colorado, like the effort of the just outstanding efforts that we saw against Montreal, Toronto, Washington, some of the cream of the crop of this league. And then you see the absolute eggs that get left, you know, against Florida, for heaven's sakes. I mean, you look at that, and that's where, you know, I think where Pred Nation gets so just crazed about it. It's like, look, I'm not going to sit here and complain. They're in second place in the Central. You know, they're within striking distance of Winnipeg. They've got at least 10 points clear of the rest of the pack in the Central. So second or first is where they're going to end up. So I'm not that crazed about it, but I just this inconsistency that we have seen is just absolutely maddening. It's the only word I can come up with.
You mentioned Florida. They also laid an egg in Carolina. An egg in Detroit. You know, during the whole injury spell, they lost road games against bad teams, but they've been beating good teams a lot too. And it's just been one of those head scratching 2 month spans after that 13-3 start.
Well, you look at it, that 13-3 start, the whole team was there. I mean, team as constructed is there.
But the whole team is here now, except for Kyle Turris.
Well, the whole team is here tonight, save for Kyle Turris. Last two nights, I mean, I look at the Florida game, and I'm sorry, that is a classic example of why Ryan Johansson is in the position he's in, why he makes the money he makes. And it's just a classic example. They looked out of sync, disjointed the whole nine yards. And that's been one of the consistencies of this year. Ryan Johansson is putting together a heck of a year. And when you look at that first game, that team looked lost at times. They just looked completely disjointed, out of sync. They managed to put it back together on the road. I think an extra day in there, knowing there was one more left, certainly helped them. But it's just been fascinating to watch this team.
It's been obvious this season. We kind of saw it last season too, and the 2017 postseason when Ryan Johansson got hurt, last year when Philip Forsberg got hurt for about a month, is that the Jofa line, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, the three of them individually are better when the three of them are together.
Oh, no question.
And then when one or two of them are out of the lineup, they're simply not the same. There's not that same chemistry, obviously, right, because it's the Jofa line, but they're just not as productive either.
No, I think that's fair to say when Forsberg's out of the lineup, I think you definitely miss his scoring. You miss the attention that gets drawn to him. When Johansson's out of the lineup, you miss his setups. You miss his passing. You miss the physical game that he has added to his game in the last year or so. But I'll tell you what, the critical one, and I think we've got an object lesson in it this year, is Victor Arvidsson. Victor Arvidsson is the straw that stirs the drink on this team right now from an energy perspective, just from a spark perspective. If you look at every time this team has really been firing, it's been because Victor Arvidsson has sparked them.
They're scoring about a goal more per game with Victor Arvidsson in the lineup compared to when he was out of the lineup.
Makes perfect sense, too. I mean, and again, it doesn't. The funny thing about it is Arvy's the one that isn't, I don't think, as dependent on the Jofa line. I mean, I'm not saying that like it's a negative thing because, again, there are those lines that are just, I mean, you know, you think back to the Legion of Doom in Philly in the 90s. You look back to the French Connection line with the Buffalo Sabres in the 70s. You look at some of these lines, they had really good players, but together they were unbelievable.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the lines that I've compared the Jofa line to is the great line the Vancouver Canucks had with the Sedin twins and Alex Burrows.
Oh, yeah.
When they were at the height of that franchise back in 2009, 2010, 2011.
It's a great
that
line.
That range. Mm-hmm. But there was a season, I forget which Sedin twin broke his foot. I think it was Daniel.
Yeah.
Broke his foot, missed 4 to 6 weeks. And Henrik Sedin and Alex Burrows were not the same with another lineman.
Agreed.
That's just the nature of when you have such a great line, when you lose one for a long period of time, it's just not the same.
Well, I mean, and you can look at, in that case, you look at, I mean, you know, I think back to the Legion of Doom with John LeClair and Mark Recchi and Eric Lindros. Lindros goes down. LeClair will still get his goals, but Recchi wasn't quite the same.
Yeah.
You go back to, you know, again, I mentioned the French Connection line in the 70s in Buffalo. Gilbert Perreault was a phenomenal player on that line. Kind of ordinary, not on that line. And, you know, and Pete Weber is probably going, oh, I remember that one. but, I mean, you look at that, and I think that's where lines become legendary, when you start seeing a line that is just so much better than the sum of its parts. And I think that's the real secret behind the Jofa line.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth joined by Paul McCann in studio this evening. The Preds are in Vegas, pregame at 8, puck drop at 9. Vegas has really turned it on here in the last couple months. Vegas was 9-12-1 on November 19th. They are 26-3. Since then, they've put up some crooked numbers on the scoreboard over that stretch. And this is a team where the Preds have had some struggle scoring goals against. They've only had 4 meetings all time between the Preds and Knights. But in those 4 meetings, the Preds have only scored 8 goals. So they've had a little bit of trouble scoring goals in those meetings.
Well, look, I remember the game last year, what, New Year's night, I think it was, in a day after New Year's in Vegas.
You were there.
Yeah, we grabbed 150 people and said, let's go to Vegas. And we had a great time on that, our last Slapshot Radio road trip. But I will tell you, that's an interesting environment there, because it's, you know, you got to give them credit. I mean, you know, we kind of joke a little bit about calling it a bad medieval times show sometimes, but I mean, they've created a very good environment there. And this is a team that was missing a couple of key players at the beginning of the season. They've returned to the team now. And, you know, honestly, I did not see a repeat.
The repeat is happening right now.
I think the repeat's happening right now. You're absolutely right. And the question becomes, can they maintain it? Because they're on a ridiculous roll right now, and it's one of the things that, you know, kind of going back to the Predators, that I look at these last 3 months of, you know, up and down play, a 13-3 start, and then throughout the holidays, and that's the official term of it. It's that's the technical term.
I would like you to spell that.
But when you go back and look at this, most teams that have success in the playoffs have struggled at times in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I look at and say, you know what? I'm not all that worried right now. This team is still in contention for the division title. This team, you know, do I care about the number one seed in the West? Not really. This is a team that has shown it can win on the road or at home. Heck, I think, you know, the playoffs last year, home ice advantage wasn't exactly, a positive thing for almost any team.
Yeah.
So when you look at this team, I'd like to get home ice advantage in the first round, maybe the second round, and beyond that, chips fall where they may. But I think that the adversity this team has gone through, and they're going through right now, I think is something that can be drawn on come April, come May, come June.
Well, you kind of led into a topic that we were going to get into a little bit later, but why not just do it now? How do the Preds stack up against the West's other elite teams? When you look at the Western Conference, there's really five teams and the rest of them. When you think of Nashville, San Jose, Calgary, Vegas, and Winnipeg, how do the Preds stack up against each one of those teams? We will get into that next. He's Paul McCann. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth joined by Paul McCann this evening. You can hear Paul coming up at 7 as well with his normal show, Slapshot Radio, which will lead into pregame at 8 o'clock as the Preds visit the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. It is a nationally televised game on NBCSN. So my speech every single time this comes up is, if you do not like the national broadcasters on NBC Sports Network, you can just mute the TV and put ESPN 102.5 The Game on your radio in your home or on the app.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
And sync the two together.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
What's that?
If you listen on the app and you've cut the cord and are watching on Sling, they are within a half a second.
Well, there you go.
You don't even have to worry about trying to get it to sync. They're within about a half a second of each other. And the other thing you can always try is there's all kinds of things you can do on there, but that actually works because, you know, sometimes I like hearing, but you know what? Ain't nothing like Pete calling the game, for heaven's sakes.
And Hal Gill as well. Don't shortchange Skillsy.
Well, you know, he is a bag chucker extraordinaire.
He is.
He certainly is.
He absolutely
and
is.
I am humbled in his presence at his bag chucking skills. So I will I will absolutely not shortchange Hal Gill.
So pregame,
besides, he's bigger than me and he can run faster.
I think he's bigger than almost anybody in the city. Pregame at 8, puck drop at 9, Preds and Golden Knights from Vegas. And Vegas is one of the top teams in the Western Conference once again. And Paul, there's really only five teams in the Western Conference that you could call elite or make cases for being elite, because between the fifth and sixth best teams in the conference, there is a 10-point gap. Yep. That is a huge gap at this point in the season. And really, the eye test would agree with that after those five teams, the rest of them have been very sketchy. You have teams who are firing GMs or going on 12-game losing streaks that are still in the hunt, and the St. Louis Blues are still within striking distance with as bad as they've been for most of the first 50-some-odd games.
Too many teams to jump over.
So, they're still within striking distance. Yeah. If they put together a run, they are within striking distance. That start didn't completely bury them in
as
the
it
standings.
Should have. Yes,
as it should have,
true.
As it normally would in a normal season. So when you look at the five teams and how the Preds stack up against those five, let's start with Winnipeg, the team that is ahead of them in the standings by 2 points, that has games in hand on them, 3 to be exact.
That's right.
How do you feel like the Preds stack up against the Winnipeg Jets when you're looking at not just the regular season, but the playoffs when this Preds team will be judged?
This one is all about attitude. And I'm sorry, because Winnipeg has taken a page out of the Anaheim Ducks book. That page in that chapter is entitled the officials can't call everything. And we saw an object lesson in that at Bridgestone Arena last week, and it knocked the Preds off their game. You could see the frustration just continuing to build with the Predators as that Winnipeg game went on last Thursday night. So I think, can the Predators skate with them? Absolutely. Can they score with them? Absolutely. Are they a better defense? Absolutely. Do they have better goaltending? Yes, they do. What they have to do is regain a little bit of the swagger that this team has had. And it comes out in spurts. But this team needs a little bit more of the swagger that, you know, to just come on in and say, I'm the alpha man.
Well, the swagger that they showed at home against Winnipeg back in October when they shut them out 3-0.
Exactly.
Now, what I will say is that those advantages that you list for the Preds, the Jets can combat the speed.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they're fast as well. And
physical.
They have the size. They have physicality.
And they love to clog the neutral zone. It's one of their biggest weapons.
Right. Winnipeg is really stinking good.
Oh, they're good.
The thing to remember with these two teams is that in the last 14 meetings, including the playoffs, it is a 7-7 draw between the two.
Look,
and
if Nash, look, the two teams are very, very close. It's why I started out by saying it. This is all about attitude, because the talent is fairly equal. You know, but it's all about attitude. It's all about coming in there and being the alpha. And to your point, back in October, that's exactly what happened. Last Thursday night, kind of flipped the script a little bit.
So Winnipeg is really the only other elite team in the Central Division for the Nashville Predators to go up against. I mean, it seems inevitable that round two will be Nashville-Winnipeg part two.
Of course.
And
cue the inevitable whining.
Yes.
About two great teams meeting in the second round. Oh, my God. Lord.
So now looking at the teams in the Pacific Division, the leader of the division is Calgary. And Calgary has been a little bit of a surprise this year. Now, the hockey news did come out in the preseason and predict Calgary to win the division.
And
Elias Lindholm has been a great pickup from Carolina in a trade.
It has.
On that top line with Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. Where I think the Preds have the biggest advantage against Calgary, if they were to meet in the playoffs, just hypothetically, head-to-head, is A, experience, and B, goaltending. Because this Preds team has been through the ringer. The Flames, as a team, they haven't.
That's true.
Goaltending, you have Pekka-Rinne.
Yeah.
The goaltending for Calgary, you don't know whether it's Mike Smith or David Rittich. And David Rittich has zero playoff experience.
See now, but that's where I get nervous about Calgary.
Why?
Because I don't know if it's PTSD, whatever, but, you know, I go back to that Arizona series, you know,
with
a few
Mike
years
Smith.
Back, and Mike Smith just dominated.
Well, it was Phoenix back then.
Yes, it was.
By the way,
okay.
Paul.
It was the Phoenix Coyotes at that point, but it was still the same goaltender.
The other thing is that since Peter Laviolette took over, is that this Calgary team has kind of had the Preds number. They've won 7 of the last 12 meetings.
Yep. No, Calgary. As I look at the teams that are in the top six right now, that's the one team I really don't want to see in the playoffs. It really is, because, look, they're young enough to not let their lack of experience get in the way. I mean, they've got enough veteran leadership on that team, and don't discount players like Mike Smith, players like James Neal. They have all been there before. You know, Neal's got a ring. There's a couple others in there that's got a ring. I mean, they've got a nice combination of youthful exuberance and veteran leadership. To me, Calgary is the most dangerous team in the Western Conference this year, at least as it stands right now.
You think so?
I do.
More dangerous than Winnipeg, Nashville, San Jose, or Vegas?
Yes, I do. I think they are the most dangerous team right now.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing.
I disagree on that, but go ahead.
Again, I'm going to go back to adversity. This is a team that has, for all intents and purposes, for 51 games, has cruised through their National Hockey League schedule. I mean, right now they're on an 8-1-1 run. I mean, this is a team that just, if they lose one, they don't lose two.
I also think Bill Peters is proving to be a pretty good coach.
I agree with that.
He didn't get the job done in Carolina. He's getting the job done now in Calgary.
Bill Peters was not given the kind of team.
That's fair.
In Carolina to really show it. He's got the kind of team right now. And like I said, out of the six teams that are in the top three in both divisions, Calgary is the one that worries me the most.
San Jose. In the last 17 meetings between the Preds and the Sharks, including the playoffs back in 2016, the Sharks have a 9-8 advantage.
It's tough. That's a tough one.
That's very even. Yeah. Because the Preds probably have a little better depth.
Yep.
They have more reliable goaltending.
Yep.
San Jose has more firepower that the Preds have to combat than the Preds have firepower that San Jose has to combat.
Well, when you've got a Joe Pavelski, when you've got, you know, when you've got a Logan Couture, you know, when you've got these kind of players, and no one is an absolute superstar, but there is a lot of firepower.
Evander Kane,
you know,
Timo Meyer has been
Meyer's been
a breakout player this year. Thomas Hertl is really emerging.
So we've just named five players right now. And there's more on that team. I mean, when you've got Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson, for heaven's sakes, on your blue line. Now, it's funny how the two of them have finally kind of figured out that there's, you know, only one puck on the ice at the same time. And,
yeah,
you know, they're not on the same pairing a lot now, which is probably better for the San Jose Sharks and a nightmare for the rest of the National Hockey League. But there's just San Jose. Has Edmonton-itis only at a little bit of a lower grade fever, because it's just they just can never seem to figure out that one thing to get them through. You know, they had the one final run,
mm-hmm,
and that's it. And this team has been good for 10, 12 years.
I will say Peter DeBoer has been a pretty good playoff coach.
He has. Absolutely.
He took New Jersey to the final.
Yep.
He took San Jose to the final. Both of those teams weren't expected to do much of anything in the playoffs those springs. So San Jose
There's expectations this year too, and that kind of, sometimes it's easier when there's no expectations, as we learned last year.
In 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think we learned it last year, well, too. You know, when the expectations were there.
Yes. So the last team of the elite group in the Western Conference is Vegas. And the Preds and Knights have only met four times. It's been an even 2-2 split.
Mm-hmm.
And this Preds team, they have a little bit of an edge on experience just as a team.
Yep.
But the Knights, their speed cancels out one of the Preds' biggest advantages against most teams,
true,
which is their speed.
True. And no question.
Vegas, they're tenacious. They are greater than the sum of their parts.
Yep.
They are a very...
They're greater than the sum of their parts with a freaking amazing goaltender, because Marc-Andre Fleury has been amazing since he has gotten to the desert. He's just been unbelievable.
It's almost like he has a chip on his shoulder after being left out to dry in Pittsburgh.
Why wouldn't he? You know what? That's the kind of thing you would expect out of a professional goaltender, to say, oh, okay, you want this kid over here that hasn't, okay, that's cool. I'll just show you how much of a mistake you made.
So if you had to rank these five teams in terms of chances to win the Stanley Cup, these five that we've talked about, the Preds, the Jets, the Flames, the Sharks, the Knights.
You don't think Minnesota's in that mix?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't.
I was just checking. I'm just making sure.
Do you?
Hell no.
So if you had to rank those five teams in terms of Stanley Cup contenders, how would you rank them?
See, I'd probably create a big three and a little two. And
what's your big three?
I think the big three would be Winnipeg, Nashville, and Calgary, and I'd put the little two as San Jose and Vegas.
I would swap San Jose and Calgary.
And the only reason here's where I'm having a hard time, with the Pacific, because you've got, you know, yes, I know St. Louis and Chicago is the quote unquote weak sisters in the Central, but you've got a bad LA team, you've got a confused Edmonton team, and you've got an Arizona team that's been on the rise, but still not quite there yet. And then you've got the Anaheim Ducks. Who knows where they're going to end up? But there's four teams to tee off on in that Pacific Division. There's two in the Central. So I think sometimes the point totals can be a little bit deceiving.
Kind of like when Detroit and Nashville beat up on Columbus, St. Louis, and Chicago,
correct,
back after that first lockout.
Correct.
When they were head above shoulders,
yep,
better than those three.
So what, 107, 108 points for the Preds that year?
And they would follow up like a mid-70 point team in St. Louis or Columbus or Chicago.
And I think there's a little bit of that going on right now. However, I just I see that a little too. And again, I'm playing for Missouri on San Jose. Show me, because at this point, I mean, one final run does not a dominant team make, and one final run that's 3 years old now. I think they're good. I think they're a team that may win a round or two, but I don't look at them as a favorite.
I would go Jets 1. I'd go Preds 2.
Mm-hmm.
I would go Sharks 3.
Wow.
Vegas 4. Calgary 5.
The 71 point leading the Western Conference, 8-1-1 in their last 10 games, Calgary Flames.
Show me that you can win in the playoffs. The coach has never been there. A big part of that team hasn't been there. I know you said there are some players that have, but the team collectively has not.
Okay.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. He's Paul McCann. I'm Ryan Porth. Coming up next, David Poile had some interesting comments earlier today on Darren and Donick, and Paul and I are going to react to them coming up next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back to the show. It's all brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. The Preds in Vegas tonight, pregame at 8, puck drop at 9. Real quick here, Paul.
Yeah.
UC Saros expected to start tonight. Are you surprised by that?
Not really.
Okay.
I think, you know what, at this point, you got an opportunity to give Pecorino, he's got
a week and a half.
Well, he's got to do the All-Star game.
True.
So getting him a little rest before that, and then getting week after the All-Star game, I think it's a great idea. And you know what? This is one of those things where you can't, I mean, right now, Rene's on a pace to do about 60, 61 starts. That's just not good for this team come April, come May.
When you look at the four games between the Preds and the Knights in the last 2 years, UC Saros has won both games that he's faced Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Pecorine has lost both games. So
wouldn't surprise me if that was a part of it too.
Absolutely. Well, David Poile, general manager of the Nashville Predators, was on Darren and Donick earlier today for his weekly visit, brought to you by Gary Force Acura. And David Poile was asked by Willie Donick about the second line and some of the inconsistencies, some of the injury with Kyle Turris. And he had something very interesting to say about the Preds forward group. Here was David Poile earlier today on Darren and Donick.
I think with Joey being back tonight, our first line, we're very confident that that's one of the best lines in the league. But we're not as confident in our second line, and that's because Turris has been out a couple of times this year, and there's been some inconsistencies with some of the other players. I feel confident on the third and fourth lines, whatever we put together. Nick Menino has been playing really well, and whoever plays with him, I mean, they seem to do a good job defensively, and they're also starting to score some goals. So second line is really the biggest question mark on our team right now.
That was Preds GM David Poile earlier today. Ryan Porth alongside Paul McCann here, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul, he makes it sound like he trusts the first line, he trusts the second, or he trusts the third line, he trusts the fourth line. But his statement there at the end of that clip, that the second line is the biggest question mark, is something I was very interested to hear, because a lot of us feel the same way.
Look, you look at the stats, you look at the fancy stats, you look at the eye test. All three say the same thing. I mean, this is not, the second line has struggled all year long. And honestly, it's a key component to this team, because without a second line that's a threat, it makes it so much easier to defend against the Jofa line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things about this team that has always been one of their hallmarks is that, how do you scheme against them? Okay, you load up against the Jofa line. Well, then the fist line was coming to get you. You know, you try and load up against the blue line, the forward line's coming to get you. Right now, that second line is not a threat.
Well, when you look back to the playoffs last year, mm-hmm, the way the Jofa line played in that second round series against Winnipeg, they should have won that series.
Agreed.
When that line performs like that in the playoffs, you should win.
Mm-hmm.
But the second line was nearly non-existent in that second round series against Winnipeg. And this season, I have not been impressed at all with that second line. It's been very inconsistent, and you can't trust it night to night. Now, Kyle Turris, yes, he has missed 21 games due to injury.
Right.
David Poile did say on Darren and Donick earlier today that he isn't likely to return immediately after the break in the back-to-back of Florida and Dallas, but it could be pretty soon after that that Kyle Turris does get back in the lineup. He's been out since shortly after Christmas. Mm-hmm. Craig Smith, he has 14 goals so far this season, on track for another 20-goal season. That's what you come to expect with Craig Smith, yet he hasn't scored in the last 8 games. Kevin Fiala.
Well, before we go on, I definitely want to get to Fiala, but before we get off Smith,
okay,
I don't want to leave that lie there, because in the last eight games that Smith has been scoreless, he's had three different centers. I mean, and let's face it, Smith has had his most consistent year as a Predator this year so far. Now, this is something that we're kind of used to seeing. He does go on stretches occasionally where he goes goalless.
He is one of those
streaky scorers.
Normal streaky scorers. We saw it with James Neal.
So is Forsberg. So, I mean, you know, at this point, but I look at Craig Smith is that Craig Smith has also been a little bit more of an energizer bunny this year. You know, he has been, you know, involved. He has been on his toes. So I'm not going to jump on him too hard for an 8-game scoreless streak when he's had three different centers and it's just, you know, the juggling that's going on right now to try and fire up that second line. I get that. But I also look at Craig Smith as being probably, if there are three question marks on that second line, he's the smallest one of the three.
I would tend to agree with you. However, Craig Smith was one of those players that when all the injuries happened, I kind of looked at him and said, that's one of the players that needs to go on one of those scoring binges.
Well, I mean, he's been consistent. You haven't seen a 7-goal in 5-game stretch out of him. But you've been seeing every game or two, there's a goal, there's an assist, there's involved in the play. I mean, I get what you're saying. It would be great. But I don't know if that is ever Craig Smith. I just don't know if that's an expectation out of that player.
The other player that everyone expected to step up in that time was Kevin Fiala. And Kevin Fiala is on pace for 13 goals this season. He has one goal in the last 12 games, and that one goal was in garbage time against Toronto in that impressive win for the Preds on that last road trip. And look, he's on a 45-point pace, which isn't far off from the 48 points he had last season. However, the eye test has not been equal to that 3-point drop-off in terms of pace. There's been a bigger difference in the eye test with Kevin Fiala than there has been in what that pace is in terms of points. Agreed. Kevin Fiala this season has taken a step back from what he did in the last three-fourths of last season.
I look at – this is a player that really confounds me. I mean, because this is a player that has sniper capability, sniper skills, but we don't see that on a consistent basis. And I don't know if it's effort. Is it caring? Is it I don't like how I'm being used? I just don't know where it's coming. Or is he battling something?
Well, I think we do have to factor that. I have no idea.
I don't either.
I think there's three different Kevin Fialas that we see.
Yeah.
One, that we don't see. Two, the Kevin Fiala that tries a little too hard.
Yep.
And then three, the Kevin Fiala that is actually playing well. And the number three, we have not seen enough of.
Not this year.
This season. Agreed. And it has been pretty obvious to me that it comes across that Peter Laviolette has a short leash with Kevin Fiala. You think back to November. You think back to November, there was a home game against LA. He made a turnover that led to a Los Angeles goal. He barely saw the ice for the rest of that game. It was midway through the second period when that happened. You think back to the Winnipeg game last week, right? Where he wasn't hard on the puck and he lost control of the puck and the play went to the other end and Winnipeg ended up scoring their second goal of the night and Fiala was demoted to the fourth line. He's been up and down the lineup on the second line, the third line, the fourth line, sometimes on the first line when necessary. I don't trust Kevin Fiala when he's on the ice.
Yeah.
And it certainly comes across that Peter Laviolette at times does not trust Fiala to do the right thing when he's out there.
That's hard to disagree with. And I don't think I want to disagree with it because it almost, you know, I can remember speaking to an NHL coach that would talk about an annual benching of one of his most promising players. And, you know, and it would happen every year. There'd be a healthy scratch, and then that player would come back and all of a sudden, you know, would decide to be interested and play again. And when you look at, you know, it seems like this player is falling into that same trap that, you know, again, there is, you look at the potential for this player, and I'm no longer calling him a kid. I'm no longer calling him a young man. There is a lot of potential in this player. And is it a case of too much too soon? Is it a case of, you know, okay, I'm here and I've got the contract and, you know, you can't do anything about it except trade me?
Well, I mean, he is an RFA this summer.
I know.
Like, this is a contract year for Kevin Fiala, an opportunity for him to get, you know, more than just a small 2 or 3 year deal in the summer.
Yep.
If he had taken the next step from what we saw last season, we could have been talking about a guy that gets a 4 or 5 year contract that David Poile is trying to make into a Victor Arvidsson type contract.
Right.
Right now, I mean, Kevin Fiala, yes, he's 22 years old. But I have concerns about him.
But
he is 22.
But again, he's been on. This is his third season on this team, after a year in Milwaukee. So I mean, at some point, he's only 22. You can ride that until he's 27, and you go, wow, whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I don't know if the idea right now is that let's face it, the trade deadline's coming.
February 25th.
I mean, you know, so when this team comes back, the race is on. I'm semi-surprised that David Poile didn't pull one of his earlier moves.
Well, he did say on Darren and Donick earlier today, I know we're up against the break.
Yeah.
He did say on Darren and Donick earlier today that he's probably going to wait a little bit and see what the lineup looks like when it's all healthy, when Kyle Turris is back.
Makes sense.
From injury.
That makes sense.
To kind of gauge where he needs to go. If you're asking me right now, on January 23rd, where he needs to go, I feel like he needs a middle nine forward to add to this group because the second line.
We need another Ryan. Ryan Zingle.
From Ottawa.
Yep.
The second line has been the biggest question mark, and they need a boost on the power play.
No question about that. And when you look at, you know, you look at the teams that maybe, you know, they're dealing with, that's exactly where the rumors are flying as well when you look at what this team may be going after.
Monday was Peter Laviolette's 600th win.
Woo-hoo.
As head coach of the Nashville Predators. What is the biggest impact? Well, not with the Nashville Predators. He doesn't have 600 wins with the Preds, but in his career, 600 for his career. But in his 4-plus seasons, what is the biggest impact Laviolette has made on this team and this franchise? We'll get into that next. He's Paul McCann of Slapshot Radio. I'm Ryan Porth. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth, joined by Paul McCann. You can hear Paul coming up at 7 on Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Preds are in Vegas tonight. Pre-game at 8, puck drop at 9 right here. ESPN 102.5 The Game. So Monday afternoon, Peter Laviolette won game number 600 as the Preds beat the Colorado Avalanche 4-1 on MLK Day. And Peter Laviolette becomes the 20th coach in NHL history to reach the 600 win mark. Pretty impressive that Peter Laviolette has done this with a lot of different teams. And it kind of made me think big picture. Mm-hmm. With Peter Laviolette and what he's meant to this franchise. I have said in the last couple of years, ever since Peter Laviolette took the Preds to the Stanley Cup final, that the best move that David Poile ever made was the decision to move on from Barry Trotz and go get Peter Laviolette because of what this team has done since that move. And Peter Laviolette has made a huge impact on this roster, on this franchise. For you, Paul, what would be the biggest impact that Peter Laviolette has made on the Preds in his four-plus seasons?
I think the biggest impact has been a little bit of a change of attitude. And it's a change in attitude of the franchise. If you look at the first 16 or so years of the franchise, it was a, oh gosh, we're just glad to be here, and please don't take our franchise away from us. When Peter Laviolette came to this team, the attitude changed. Expectations became greater. And quite frankly, I think you've seen, you know, Peter Laviolette has a little bit more of a high-risk style on the ice. And I think you may even see that impact on David Poile as a GM if you look at some of the moves he's made with Peter Laviolette as the head coach. I like the direction the franchise has gone in since Peter's taken over this job. And the interesting piece is this. When you look at Peter Laviolette and his influence on this team, the success that they've had, 600 wins, over 33% of them have come in Nashville. Over 4 years.
You were mentioning before the break or during the break that this is the longest tenured stop that Peter Laviolette has had as a head coach.
Look at the success he's had. And I think one of the things I also think has been a big impact on this team has been the development of, I think Peter Laviolette has taken the lessons that he learned in Carolina and the Islanders in Philly and kind of really put them all together here. The knock on him had always been his message gets old. And it's funny because after the second year, everyone's like, oh, I don't know, maybe the message is getting old. And then all the team did was go ahead and make a run to the final. So I look at this and say, you know what? This is a coach that is also showing the team that you can develop, new skills and implement them at a high level.
So I had two things written down in terms of the impacts that Peter Laviolette, the two biggest things that Peter Laviolette has had on the Preds. One was exactly what you said. The winning attitude that he has instilled in that locker room, in this franchise, where they now expect to win every single night. And it's not this us against the world attitude that this franchise and that locker room had a lot of years under Barry Trotz. And that's not a knock on Barry Trotz. It's just the fact that it was an attitude change, and it was an attitude change for the better. The other thing is that Peter Laviolette has gotten the best out of most of the young players on that roster.
Yeah.
And not to say that these same individuals would not have gotten, or Barry Trotz would not have gotten the same production out of these young individuals. Like Philip Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah.
Are they on pace for 40 plus goals with Barry Trotz? I don't know. I mean, the small sample size saw Philip Forsberg have with Barry Trotz.
Well, I think
he was very young, but it was like something clicked when Peter Laviolette took over, because his first season was Forsberg's first full season where he took off.
And I think if you look at some of the young talent that has been brought up in this team and some of the things that have happened in this team, you know, you can look at some of the some young talent that maybe wasn't developed like they should have been. And or maybe was held
like under Barry Trotz.
Like under Barry.
I look at Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm.
I'll go back even further, and I will use the Alexander Radulov.
Okay. Well, I was using examples that played for both.
Right now, but
right.
You know, you look at you know, how players mature, how they grow, how they learn, and again, I kind of like that Laviolette has not only brought a sense of purpose and a sense of drive, but also a little bit of a sense of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the Christmas suits last year. The bullhead this year was just amazing. And just those kind of things, they mean a lot to a team.
And you mentioned the young players. For whatever reason under Barry Trotz, the young forwards did not develop.
Didn't seem to be trusted.
And Peter Laviolette has a lot of trust most of the time in his young players.
Until you prove you haven't earned it. And I think that's what you're seeing going back to our Kevin Fiala discussion. I think you see that there. There are times when they just haven't earned it. And if you haven't earned it, you ain't going to get it with this coach.
And to be fair to Barry Trotz, too.
Oh, this is not a knock on Barry at all.
He's a fantastic coach. he also didn't have the roster that this team has.
That is very true.
He had to rely on veteran players that were kind of leftovers from other teams.
Yeah.
Particularly think of a J.P. Dumont who
did fantastic,
giving away in Buffalo and came here and was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And Sergei Kostitsyn off the scrap heap. Joel Ward off the scrap heap. Yannick Perreault off the scrap heap. But you're not going to win big in the playoffs with guys like that being your leading point getters offensively.
It's true.
Peter Laviolette has Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson, and that great defense with a great goalie duo. I do think Laviolette has more to work with.
Oh, no question.
Trotz did.
Yeah.
But Peter Laviolette is getting more out of those pieces to work with than Barry Trotz did, especially with the young players. Now,
you're absolutely right.
When you compare skill to skill, Barry Trotz, a lot of years had to squeeze blood from a stone just to make the playoffs.
Look at what he's doing in New York right now.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
That's a typical Barry Trotz team.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, put a chip on his shoulder and, oh, you think we can't win with John Tavares? Here, hold my beer. You know, I mean, that's what's going on the island right now.
Paul McCann of Slapshot Radio coming up at 7 o'clock. You'll be in here. Thank you for stopping by early. Always appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Like having you on.
I appreciate it. And by the way, just don't touch that dial. We're going to go down on the farm with the Patrick J. Brown Agency and Farmers Insurance, talking to Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, the coach, Brent Peterson, third man in, Zach McCann, all coming up in just about, three or four minutes.
Should be a lot of fun. Well, don't tune the dial or turn the dial after that show either, because that's the pregame at 8. Puck drop at 9. The Preds in Vegas tonight. All the action heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For Paul McCann, I'm Ryan Porth. Thanks for listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game.